grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text this day is, or I should say, are the readings as well as Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You may be seated. Our text is from the words of Jesus at his ascension, looking forward to the day of Pentecost. Our readings are from the seventh Sunday of Easter. However, along with that, I want you to consider Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then the Lord God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." For today, we not only celebrate the image of God restored to humanity, not only humanity restored before the presence of God, but also this day, we celebrate again that humanity once again is able to live out the image of God in creation forever and now. Consider, what is the image of God? Let's go back again to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus had said to his disciples, "You are my witnesses." Now, this is not in the sense of knocking on doors for evangelism, though you could do that to be a witness of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you might think here in the sense of a legal term. Here, you might think of a judge, a jury, and Jesus says that you are in his witness stand. Jesus' disciples, of course, testify in the court of the world. The world is always judging not only what we believe, but also how we act. It is bearing the image of Christ, bearing the image of God in creation forever and now. The context gives us what the original image of God means. For God said, "Let us make man in our image." Now, this first word for image has the idea, that word image cannot mean that we look like God. Because God is spirit, right? He doesn't have a body. And before Jesus' conception, the Son of God had no physical body. So what does the image of God mean? God lays it out in his own words. "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God, the creator of the universe, goes ahead and delegates his dominion over creation to humanity. The psalmist in 8 declares, "You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." Can you imagine what authority God has given to humanity to rule like kings and queens over the earth? Exactly. Humanity was intended to rule like earthly kings and queens over all the earth. Whereas in the ancient times, a king would go ahead and raise a huge statue in his kingdom, and it would say to all his surrounding kingdom, "I rule here." So when the Lord God created man and placed him in the garden, it said to creation, "God rules here." Notice I didn't say that when human beings walk the earth, their presence says that humans rule here. Humanity was created in the image of God. He was the statue. He was the representation of God in creation. And so man's presence testifies to the rule of God in this place. God rules here. But since sin, that image has been corrupted. And now that witness is corrupted. And humanity testifies to the wrath of God. You see, that's what happened when God's created rulers listened to another word. Remember that man was given that one rule in Genesis chapter 2? And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You shall surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day, or in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." One rule, one simple line of words spoken with God's authority. And God's authority over all creation was delegated to humanity, but not in this one place. God spoke. Adam listened. We know that Eve heard this word from Adam, for she repeats those words to the serpent. But as you know, Eve went ahead and listened to someone else, to another word. Adam heard his wife gave, and he acted on that other word as well. So in listening to the serpent's words, they came to trust that they could be like God, knowing good and evil. They believed that they could have a greater wisdom than God had given. However, God's word still held true, even in their disobedience to his life-maintaining word. For God had warned them, remember? God had warned them, and they brought God's word of death into creation and for themselves. For they had listened to a different word. In the first reading in Acts, we heard what happened to Judas. We also heard the word of God. He also had heard the word of God from the very word made flesh, Jesus Christ. And even Jesus had chosen him to be one of his disciples. He stayed with Jesus for 3 years. And yet Judas went ahead and gave up on that word and listened to a different word. For John writes in his gospel, during the supper, when the devil had already put into his heart, into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. How did it get to Judas's heart? He had listened to a different word and acted on it. And so it was that God's word of death came true. God's desire is that no one would be lost, but God's word of grace can indeed be resisted and so fulfill the condemnation of God's word. So John 17 records in the prayer of Jesus, "I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scriptures might be fulfilled." When we follow words that are different than God's word, we welcome destruction, chaos, and death into our life. We thwart the good and gracious will of God and bring about the devil's plans and purposes. We put ourselves in control, or I should say, we put ourselves in control of something else other than God. Consider here St. Paul's words in his first chapter to the Romans. "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of God, of the immortal God, for the images resembling mortal man, and birds, and animals, and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, to dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." No, that's not the end of the sermon. That's the end of the text. Aha! This is good. You are listening. And so it is in the Lord's Prayer that we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so we have learned, what does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us. And how is God's will done? God's will is done, as Luther has taught us, when he breaks and hinders every evil plan of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature that do not want to hallow God's name nor let his kingdom come. And here is the good part. And when he strengthens us and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die, this is his good and gracious will. And the reason why we are here today, to hear again that word, to have it come into our ears and to fill our hearts and to be remembered in our minds and to be acted out by our hands. But if Judas was lost, and Adam and Eve brought death into the world, how then again is this image restored to humanity once again? It is restored by the Word made flesh. When the Son of God was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary, in Colossians chapter 1 it states, "He is the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." Not the Son of God was born, the firstborn of all creation, but that the Son of God takes on creation and becomes the prominent one, the first to rise to the dead from the dead and stand before the glory of God. By his resurrection, he brought life and immortality to light. When Christ ascended before the right hand of the Father, once again, humanity in Jesus is in the presence of God. Jesus is restored and given this rightful place, having dominion again over all creation. Now, you remember very well the Great Commission, Matthew 28. You see, Jesus, before he left, he testified to his church. And listen to the words as you think about Genesis chapter 1. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." All authority includes the authority over creation, over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, and over every living creature. But now this dominion also includes dominion over the devil, the world, our sinful nature, and death itself through the forgiveness of sins. For where there is the forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. You know, when a person holds a grudge, there's a part of your life that just seems to be in turmoil. It brings about a kind of a death. Death of friendships, a death of relationships. But where there is forgiveness, there is life and salvation. Jesus has given his word forever and now. There. In baptism, you are counted dead to sin. There, you are counted deaf to a different word, to all the words of the world, your sinful nature, and even to Satan himself. In baptism, you are given life. Death and resurrection are there for you in Christ Jesus through faith. And through baptism, you are included in the very kingdom that you pray for in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. You remember that the rule of God, the kingdom of God, is the reign of God
And how does God's kingdom come? As we learn in the Catechism, the kingdom of God comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, and we, as the children of God, and so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity, forever and now. When we live holy lives, when you believe in God's word, you know that the Holy Spirit is working in you. You know that you have the image of Christ, and the image of God has been restored to humanity. But it is restored in Jesus. And Jesus proclaims, "You are my witnesses." By His word, our lives, our actions, our words, our faith, our hearing testifies, proclaims the truth of God's word, and that He is working not only in your life, but in around you as well, in your home, at your job, in your church, in your community. For wherever you are saying to the rest of the world, God rules here forever and now. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.